Blaze of red. From John's Gospel that Frank just read, whoever has seen me, Jesus says, has seen the Father. Now, it was maybe for some of us, some of you, a little bit of a gripping moment when that wind came on before Ellie read, and then these people stood up around the church here and began to speak in foreign tongues. But most of us a little used to that, but maybe not. Maybe it replicates in a small way what that room full of people saw, heard, when the winds came blasting in and these people who seemed drunk to some began to speak the gospel in words and languages that they understood. A tremendous show of God's power in one of its forms. The Holy Spirit is also the comforter, that soft, gentle spirit that surrounds us in times of need when we think and feel that everything is going very badly. That's the comforter. That's the power of that. But there is also the power that comes in so many ways that are visible. Now, as you know, the day of Pentecost is preceded by 10 days before the Ascension, when the apostles were standing around Jesus, and as he was lifted up, Luke tells us, they saw him as he was being lifted up, visually saw him. That story, Luke knew very well, had a precursor in the Old Testament when Elijah, the great prophet, who was full of the Spirit, who had power to call down the fire of God on people, but who also had the gentle power of being able to hear the still, small voice of God, that power. And when Elijah was going to die, he had this sidekick by the name of Elisha, remember? And Elisha was really eager to get that power. And Elijah said, not mine to give, not mine to give. So Elijah goes down to a river, takes off his cape and snaps it over the river, and the river parts, walks across. Elisha comes through fast. A bunch of prophets up on the hill rend their garments. Then Elijah says to Elisha, I am now going to be taken up. If you see me when I go, you will get the power. Chariots of fire come down, sweep up Elijah, and Elisha says, I see, Elisha, I see. On the way up, Elijah lost his cape. Elisha picks it up, goes back to the stream, snaps it. It parts for him. The prophets tear off their clothes again. He has the power because he has seen God. The disciples on that day when Jesus spoke to them, they had seen God in Christ, but they didn't have eyes to see. They wouldn't get it until today, and with it, that power, the day of the Pentecost. The power came upon this miserable group of Palestinian peasants. Jews got this power. And a few days later, when Peter and John went into the temple, the beggar screamed for alms, and he said, I have no alms. What I give you in the name of Jesus Christ. Arise and walk. The guy jumped up. He not only walked, he bounded and jumped, shooting two-point basketballs in the temple. So, power. We become children of God. Now, the power of seeing is a fabric that has many threads to it. And the first one that we have, all of us here, although we may not always see it that way, is that God is ascendant over this world. Doesn't look like it a lot of the times to us in our pitiful eyes. And our eyes aren't that pitiful because we see that the world is indeed in many, many places. I mean this biblically, going to hell. It's bad out there, not here necessarily, although we have trouble too. It's bad. But we have the ability, we have the eyes to see because the Holy Spirit has touched every one of you, even if you haven't always noticed it. We have the ability to see that God is over it all, that it's going someplace that is wonderfully connected to death and resurrection. And therefore, we can't go by looks when we look at the world. Can't go by looks. The Spirit of God is powerfully at work. And then the next power that we're given is really an enormous one. We're given the power to love. Now, our dogs love us, but it's limited. But it's wonderful. But we humans really have the power to love next to the power not to love. And I always wonder when I see people I know how easy it is to love here, but how difficult it is with all sorts of people that I see or know about, that I can't possibly love. Monsters doing terrible things in the world. I can't love them or try. But then I look at God. God loves everyone. He certainly doesn't love what people do. Oh no. There will be judgment. When everyone is raised from the dead and stands before Jesus, oh, there will be reckoning. And it'll be the most painful kind of reckoning because each person will really see and be humiliated, horrified, ashamed of what they did. And St. Paul, of course, tells us, don't get pointing the fingers at other people, because I, Paul, am the foremost sinner. And he could really tick off the sins, you know, in his writings. He said, I am the foremost sinner because I saw Jesus, and still the good that I would do, I don't do. I do just the opposite. I do the bad. And Jesus did say that the first, and that's you and me, we are the first. We will be last. We'll be there. The last will be first because they eventually will see. So I always think of why did God create the fly? Because the fly on the wall, through his eyes, God has watched the development from beginning to end of every human being. Has seen the vicissitudes, has seen the lousy genetic deal, has seen the sicknesses that were dealt. He sees it all. I want you to stop killing flies. Those are God's eyes, and he has that appreciation. That's why he can love. And that is the miracle. But finally, one of the greatest powers that God has is when we pray when we're suffering for relief, and that God chooses and is able and sometimes to heal right away and do exactly what I want. That's a wonderful power. But the other power he has in the whole process is that when I suffer, I can realize that my suffering is with Christ's, with Jesus. When I have my aches, when I have my anxieties, when I have my failures, I am right there under his cross, his blood dripping on my head. God will answer all the prayers, absolutely, in his time. And he might answer it by saying no for a while. But the answer will come. So I come to the conclusion of another wonderful year here at St. David's, as Frank lets me go off and rest for a few days. But I take you with me That's the miracle of this place. I take you with me. I know you, some of you, very well. I know some of the heaven you've gone through. I know some of the hell you've gone through. And it comes with me. So I thank you. God bless. Amen.